Today we'll be in day 14 of our study in the book of Galatians, and we'll still be in chapter 4 today. I've titled this lesson, Snap Out of It! We'll be in Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 4. Yesterday we saw the extreme chastisement of the Galatians by Paul, and today we see the plea that Paul makes to them to come back in line with the gospel, to stop going along with false teaching, and to honor God above all. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Paul pleads with the people of Galatia to realize what they're doing. He's telling them that he knows what they are going through, that even though they have fallen so far backwards, they're not lost yet. He pleads with them, expressing his love for them and begging them to become like him, to be free of the Mosaic commands and accept Christ alone as their basis for justification. Paul knew what it was to be a legalistic, self-righteous, proud Pharisee. He knew what it was like to trust in his own flesh to save him, just as the Galatians were doing. Yet Paul pleads with them to recognize what they're doing, to recognize the harm and the sin in what they're doing, and to go forth trusting wholly in God's grace. Now, verse 13 starts an interesting narrative. When Paul first came to Galatia, he was sick and needed care. In fact, it appears that Galatia wasn't even a place he intended to stop. Yet because of his illness, he had to stop there to get the help and care he needed. And of course, Paul being Paul, he took advantage of the time to share the gospel with them. The Galatians provided the care he needed joyfully, graciously, without restraint. They were happy to care for him, even when his illness was, truthfully, burdensome for them. Even with that, they treated Paul with grace, welcomed him with love, and now that joy that they had at that point is gone. That enthusiasm, that Christ-filled, servant-minded heart was gone. There was a time when they would have willingly and without remorse given Paul their own eyes, those most precious, necessary orbs. But now they treat Paul with contempt. By the way, the reference here that Paul makes about giving him their eyes has led some people to believe that Paul's illness involved his eyes. The Bible isn't clear on what his illness was, nor what the thorn in his side was, but we know that he did deal with illness and with this thorn continually. Because of the Judaizers and their restrictions, these people have lost their blessing and their joy. Why now do they treat Paul as an enemy? Merely because Paul told them the truth, the gospel? The same gospel that they had received so readily and so thankfully and with such joy, now with these Judaizers in their midst, their joy has been robbed of them? They have no joy, only rules and laws left. Paul is calling these people to repentance and also to return to the zeal that they had in Christ when he shared the gospel with them. Paul has endured a lot of pain and suffering on behalf of Christ, and much of his suffering bore immediate fruit in the lives of those who saw his suffering. Yet Paul reminds them that they haven't sinned against Paul. The Galatians weren't insulted or hurt by him, and they didn't hurt him either. Quite the opposite, in fact. They enthusiastically received Paul and the gospel he taught them. And when he taught them, he was ill and not of any temporal value to them at all. Yet they cared for him willingly and with love, when he was a burden to them in terms of his own needs. So why now, when he's not a burden to them, are they rejecting not only Paul, but the gospel? The Judaizers want to have the Galatians on their side, but not for anything good. The Judaizers want the Galatians to think well of them and to want what the Judaizers have. They're using tactics that will create zealots, and while being zealous in and of itself isn't a bad thing, it is bad if you are zealous for the wrong reason. Their abrupt change truly puzzles Paul, and he wishes he were there to speak to them in person. Not only would Paul correct and rebuke them in person, but he would also help them grow, help realign them with Christ and set them back on the right path, so they would continue to grow closer to God. His physical presence would be helpful in contradicting these Judaizers and reaffirming the truth. It's easy for the Judaizers to pick on Paul when he's far away. It's harder when he's in front of them and can defend himself. But do you see how Paul ends this paragraph? He reminds the people of Galatia of his love for them. He calls them his dear children, reminding them of his true concern for them. When Paul first came to them, he labored truly. He worked hard to help these people to see their need for Christ, to turn away from the false gods they were worshiping, and to give them a foundation to move forward on, the foundation of Christ. However, it is almost as if they were miscarried, they have gone so far backward. Thus Paul again likens the effort to childbirth. Again, he is striving to do what he can to help point the people back to Christ. He wants them to have unity in the faith, to be conformed to Jesus' image, to live by faith and not by the works from the law. At this point, Paul is unsure of how to continue to minister to these people. When he came to them ill, yet with grace and peace, they seemed to accept the gospel, but now have turned so far back from it that Paul himself is ashamed of them. Paul wonders whether he should deliver these words in person, so he could deliver them this time with a thunderous voice, with firm and strident tones, where he originally seemed to them like an angel when he spoke to them. In this section, Paul continually reminds the people where they were and contrasts that sharply with where they are now. It is different, isn't it? The words seem to take root in their hearts and they seem to flourish, yet they've stopped growing. Their current behavior is not the same as their behavior upon accepting the gospel. They've climbed back under the yoke of slavery to sin and the law, instead of growing and going forward in the grace and peace with God they have been offered. That brings me to my question today. Where is your behavior today different from when you first accepted the gospel? Now, there are so many ways to answer this. Are you satisfied with where you're at? While we're still in these bodies, we should never be satisfied with where we're at. We should continually be working, as we saw yesterday, to avoid the same traps that we used to fall into, to relearn truth, to take the place of lies, and to draw closer to Him and to learn more about Him every day. Do you look around and realize that your behavior today mirrors more closely your behavior before you had Christ than it does after you were first saved? Do you see yourself truly growing? Do you see change in your life? Are you moving every day to cast off the shackles of sin and the law to a new understanding of the true freedom you have in Christ? Now, you don't have to answer these questions to me. This is between you and God. But ask yourself, if you ran into someone you knew before you met Christ, but haven't seen since, would they see a different you? Would they see a difference that was attractive, peace, compassion, confidence in Christ, grace, understanding? Or would they see a difference that was repellent, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, etc.? Be honest with yourself and come before your God and talk to Him about it. He already knows the answer to these questions for you, ladies. Lying to yourself and Him is totally pointless. But just remember, you don't have to stay in the lies. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You can be free. You can change, but not by your own power, through His blood and His Spirit inside of you. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 14. Snap out of it.